Hello? Yes. Yeah. Welcome to Nerd Melt Theater and Meltdown Comics. Yeah. Harmontown is now in session. I'm your guest comptroller, Kumail Nanjiani. Please welcome the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
All right. Thank you. It's good to see things are already under control.
Well, it's funny because you were like, how can you fuck this up? I didn't. I mean, this was the first mic I was trying to use. There's nothing attached.
Yeah, we've had a couple guest comptrollers and people want to know. You can sense that they want to do the job right as opposed to wrong and stuff. And I always am tickled by the notion that you could do it wrong. But because this crowd, I mean, forget it. These guys, they're just lovers. They don't care. That could have gone on for 20 minutes. They would have watched you change batteries in a flashlight.
I think they had jumped off board. Yeah. 30 seconds in.
No way. Did you guys jump off board? You shouldn't ask a negative question. Did you guys fail to jump off board? Yeah, right! That's a technique telemarketers use, is they always ask questions where the answer can only possibly be yes. They'll call you up and go, "Do you love the lady of the house or something?" Do you enjoy long distance? Like you can't psychologically.
Do you enjoy long distance?
Yeah, like they'll say things that it's just like the answer in your brain can't be no. So they get you saying yes, and they get you saying yes a lot.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah.
Do you like ice cream? Yes. Hitler was a bad guy, right?
Yes, yes.
How's your home security?
I'll take it. So you were, speaking of security, you were in a hot air balloon on Twitter.
It wasn't just on Twitter. It was on my regular life also. I was in the physical world on a hot air balloon.
But did you really get into a hot air balloon?
Yeah, I got into a hot air balloon, and I realized it is exactly what it says it is. It's not helium or anything. It's just a hot air balloon.
Yeah.
It's air, and they heat it, and if you stop heating it, you die.
Yeah.
You crash.
But if the propane ran out, whatever they're using to make the torch go, it wouldn't be like a plane running out of gas. Like you would just float down to the ground, right?
Yes, but you wouldn't be. There's no steering wheel on it,
right.
So you land in the middle of a highway, and that then you're dead.
I wonder what the statistics are on hot air balloons. Like
I think 50% of the people die.
It's always such a peaceful seeming mode of transportation. They got the smile faces, or it's a Garfield floating over the trees. But I bet they do that to compensate. I bet it's like base jumping. I bet you people lose their heads and shit.
Oh yeah, 50% of people die. I saw the balloon that they were inflating, and it had all these like little pieces of tape on it. Like I was like, "What? Don't use the one that has no holes in it."
Yeah,
they're patching up holes.
I want the new hot air balloon for sure. You know, you can take a little bit of nail polish though, if you and put it on there. Something.
What does nail polish do?
It just stops the run in the balloon. Something I learned from McCall's.
What's McCall's?
It's a magazine.
Do you guys know McCall's? Some people do. I'm not from here, so a lot of this is going to be you explaining basic pop cultural things.
So it's Father's Day. You know what that is, right?
Just from the name, I can surmise.
Yeah. Do they have Father's Day in Pakistan?
Not really.
Yeah.
But now he gives a shit, now I have to call.
Yeah.
He didn't know what it was 2 years ago, but now very upset that I didn't send flowers.
I sent flowers to my dad, but I don't know that he got them, because I texted the number I had for my dad in my phone, and I was thinking about something else, and I looked at the text that I sent my dad, and it said, "Happy birthday."
There's so many sadnesses in that sentence. The number I had for my dad is maybe the saddest phrase in the English language.
So then I immediately followed it up with dot, 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 to all fathers.
Did he respond?
No. Which is, but I don't think it was his number. I don't know.
How often are you texting that number?
I don't text him a lot. And my mom has my text message, but my mom was getting eye surgery for her cataracts, and she was communicating with me through Twitter direct messages, which come to me as text messages because I'm subscribed to the
right.
service. And then after a while, I'm like, you have my text. I don't know. It's weird.
Your mom's on Twitter?
She has an account that's locked with two followers, me and my aunt, that she uses to just, I think, read tweets. She doesn't want to be tweeting nothing or anybody tweeting at her.
How many people does she follow? Does she follow people? Like, is she?
I think she just follows me and my aunt, and I think me and my aunt follow her, and I think that's it.
My mother-in-law has a Twitter account. It has one tweet, and so her cousin, her name's Elizabeth Long, and her Twitter handle is Elizabeth Long. That she's 18. It's okay. Elizabeth Long, and the only my mother-in-law was trying to follow her. But she didn't succeed, and the only tweet she has is Elizabeth Bitch Long. It's the only.
It's just her trying to type it in.
She typed it in. Yeah. She typed it in wrong. Right. Elizabeth Bitch Long, not Elizabeth Bitch Long. Elizabeth Bitch Long, and just tweet, and she's like, I give up. And it's still out there.
It must be so confusing. Like. Already that's happening to me at 41, but just in ways that are very specific. But one day. Just normal public life is going to be that. Like, everything's going to feel profane and arch and inaccessible and exhaustive, right? Because you can imagine this poor person, like, typing. So what do I have to type the at symbol, and yeah. then I have to type her name and then the word bitch. This is how I'm allowed to love her with my computer. It must seem so overwhelming, you know. Like, I remember my grandpa before he died, it was really impressively like using his new Macintosh to balance the Freemasons spreadsheet for his local chapter. He's got his little glasses perched on his nose, and his little mouse is like moving it around, and these are hands that clutched bloody bayonets at Guadalcanal, you know, thrusting and removing from the enemy, the blood gutters spraying arterial mist into the air as he shouted to the clouds, freedom! Only to come back home and just find out, wow, now they make the cars for us?
Yeah. With the left click and the right click do different things?
Yeah, there's two buttons on the mouse now. I just learned with the one button. I mean, that was back when it was like the idea of the mouse was ridiculous. Remember that Star Trek movie where Scotty picks up the mouse and he talks into it? Hello, computer. Anyways. Father, you never talk about your dad, really. You talked about your parents as a set.
They have a unified front. They've made a decision and they're sticking with it. I'll talk about my dad. My dad is sort of like the funny guy in the family. He would always be doing like jokes.
He does jokes about that. What's that ethnic group? The
Patans?
The Patans. Is your dad the first with a snappy Patan joke?
Yeah. That's exactly the kind of jokes he would do. And he would actually do a lot of like fart and shit jokes. And to this day, I don't think they're funny. And I think that's my rebellion against him.
Can you tell us just one joke that your dad really likes?
He would always say that if you ate bubble gum, you would shit like a yo-yo. And I'll be like, Dad, that is not funny. And I still think it's not funny because he said it.
That seems like a good segue into the realm of conspiracy theories. Because you just launched a podcast on the...
Oh, yeah. I'm doing a podcast called The X-Files Files on Feral Audio. It's going to be about The X-Files. It's for almost nobody.
What do you mean gonna be? You're on your
cover. It is. Well, episode 3 comes out. Dan is on it. It's a really great episode. We'll talk about
4?
It's episode 4 of The X-Files, episode 3 of the podcast.
Okay.
I go by X-Files. Very poorly thought out. This is going to be confusing and inaccessible by design.
It came out of the gate very successful. I only have one experience with one podcast, which also came out of the gate very successful. Thank you. Do new podcasts always kind of end up like on the front pages and the things because of their algorithm? Or
not always, but I think what they do, iTunes algorithm, this is, I don't know if this is interesting.
If you're just tuning in to podcast file cast file. I was going to say the podcast files, cast, podcast, but that's an actual files. Podcast.
It weights new subscribers more than existing subscribers. So if you get like, if I get 100 more, that means more, that sends me up higher up the charts than someone who has thousands of subscribers. So in the beginning, you end up higher because you're getting new subscribers and new reviews and stuff more.
It's like a gold rush. It's like a manifest destiny. It's like they're incentivizing settlers.
It is exactly that. Because I was like, I'll just do this and I'll do it every now and then. Who cares?
And then they're whoa, you're really good at this.
Yeah.
Which is what Scientology says to you.
Exactly.
Whoa. Or like when you draw Tippy Turtle for the art school thing. And you send in your shittily drawn turtle, and you always get back a thing that goes, whoa, stop the press.
Yeah.
Michelangelo, I think you might be good enough to give us $5,000. Talk to your parents. That's a good-looking turtle.
That is exactly what this was, because it was number one in comedy for like 10 days.
And then you're like, wait, why is it...
What?
Why is it 11 now?
Yeah, what happened?
Fucking Marin!
Yeah. I'll tell you, I was very happy for the few days it was above Marin's podcast. I flirted with taking a screenshot and sending it to him, but I knew I would regret it for the rest of my days.
He's got to be so sick of that. He's like a yield sign in some hillbilly highway. He's just filled with buckshot. Everyone that drives by... that everyone that has a new podcast is gonna like take that screenshot of I beat Marin.
Yeah,
but it's not really true.
Well, not everybody who gets a new podcast gets to beat Marin. Just very rare X-Files based podcasts get to do that.
All right, so your dad, I picture him in a wife beater.
No. How is it?
Chain smoking.
We used to smoke. Quit. Started up again. Quit. It's a struggle.
I picture him as Tony Shalhoub. Who am I kidding?
You picture him as Tony Shalhoub.
Why don't I just...
Quick change, and that's racist.
No, monk, baby. I think your dad is a super intelligent, mentally ill detective.
He is very intelligent. He's a psychiatrist. He is sort of Shalhoub-y in the face. He's a little Shalhoub-y.
What nationality is Shalhoub? Is he Lebanese? Why don't you know?
Tony? His first name's Tony. I think he's Italian.
No. Shalhoub is definitely Arabic.
Armenian, maybe? Is that?
I don't think he's Armenian.
He's not Armenian?
No, Shalhoub is like...
Someone's on it.
He's Lebanese.
Lebanese?
He's Lebanese. Right.
There's a couple of years ago in Michigan, he came to Flint to receive from our community college... Lebanese American of the Year.
Huh. He won Lebanese American of the Year. Who is winning it the other years? You would think Shalhoub would have a lock on that.
Yeah.
Who's winning?
He's the Hulk Hogan of Lebanese Americans for sure.
He certainly is.
this guy in the front said, "Is Shalhoub from Michigan?"
I don't think so, but Michigan has like a high population.
Oh.
He came to Flint and won Lebanese American of the Year.
That's just like Flint's economy is so downtrodden that they're like, maybe we could be the Lebanese capital of the world.
Yeah. Hey, I have a plan to get Tony Shalhoub in here. They should just rename it the Tony Shalhoub Award and give it to Tony Shalhoub every year.
That's like the mayor of Flint is in this meeting and he's like, he's just looking at all these charts and hearing all these terrible things. And then somebody says like, at this point, actually, Newsweek has now classified Flint, Michigan as a third world city. And the mayor goes, wait a minute. What if we embraced that? What if we were the premier third world destination in America? What could make third Third World World. You come here, you buy a ticket. Tony Shalhoub is there. You shake his hand.
Yeah. Are you hungry? There's no food.
That'll be $8, please. Yeah,
the water is brown and AIDS is everywhere.
but probably really fast Wi-Fi. Somebody said something about Wi-Fi, but I was that's my diss on American Wi-Fi speeds.
People are off board. What
are you guys getting back off board? All right.
What did you guys do to celebrate?
Like he came. Like he
I'm gonna repeat so people back in here.
Yeah, he did like some talk. About
he did a talk.
Being,
he talked about being on Monk
and Wings.
And
there was like a luncheon.
And then there was a luncheon, of course. I mean, you don't have to walk me through everything. This is the Lebanese of the Year Awards. I know how this goes. Of course, there's a luncheon. There's hummus. Let me guess.
All the people were really there for. I didn't see him get a trophy.
You were there?
I was there.
You were there. Everybody in Flint went. Or just you? Were tickets like a? Was it like a hot ticket item? Like on Craigslist? Did you have to go find it?
Go because I was a student at the community college.
You were a student at the community college?
And that was CC. That's what got me there.
Wait, so he came to the community college?
Community college.
Wow.
I want to get Tony Shalhoub on this show and just he's a good actor.
Oh, he's been great forever.
Yeah. We talked about this. We talked about Shalhoub. I told you about his performance in Quick Change because we were talking about you having to go in for roles where people are like, oh, well, this guy's kind of like the guy on...
exactly.
Simpsons. Outsourced, but Simpsons.
It's always Simpsons. They want me to do the voice that a white guy did, pretending to be what I actually am. Which is Pakistani, but Indian, you know, we're the same.
I remember when sometime in the vicinity of 9/11... when everyone was still really amped up, Ben Affleck being on The Daily Show, and it was, you would think that Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden would make easy comedic targets for Ben Affleck, but he's on The Daily Show, and he kind of like, I remember he was making some observation about like, I think it was something like, oh, they closed Disneyland, they're worried about Disneyland, like these guys are, you know, like they're gonna go, what should we bomb now? And he did this voice. He launched into this like Apu voice, and the crowd kind of went mild, like as Jeff Davis would say. I just thought it was really funny. He's like, "We just got attacked, and this guy can't land an Al-Qaeda joke."
They're like, "Yeah, they flew planes into us, but that's a bit much."
All right. Anyways,
so my dad is a very very smart guy.
He's got a tattoo.
He doesn't have any tattoos that I know of. He's bald. He has no hair on his head. And then he started shaving. He looks cool. He's a psychiatrist. I've said that. I'm realizing I don't know him very well. All the things I'm saying about him are stuff you could find on his Facebook page.
Are you scared of him?
No.
Like, not like he's under your bed, but just like, are you scared of making him upset? Like if you say something in an interview, or like, are you scared?
My dad's not the scary one. My mom's the enforcer.
Because you feel like you'll have emotional hell to pay if she.
If I had to guess, is that my dad would not be like, my mom's very very religious. They're both very religious. Sometimes I get the sense that if they weren't together, my dad would not be as religious.
Interesting.
So I think. So that is interesting, but it's unfortunately a conversation we're never going to have.
All right. You mean here tonight, or...
Should I call him? Hey, Dad, come on. I mean, what's the deal with Muhammad, right? Just me and you and 100 other people, and then thousands tomorrow when it goes out.
I think it's both. It's a stereotype and it's fact, like, that fathers and sons have these weird... communication, there's so much like tension that's unspoken and unexpressed.
You mean, is it like a competitive thing? I'll say this.
No, just like, well, what you just said. Like, I would think that you, okay, you grew up in Pakistan, you came here, you had to, I'm treading carefully here.
No, go for it.
I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, go for it.
You feel yourself as kind of like, you've achieved escape velocity from something that has a certain membrane around it. You're speaking about your dad as he's a psychiatrist, he's an intelligent man. You just kind of summed up there in a very important thing, like maybe your dad also would achieve that escape velocity. Like, he is this genetic blueprint of you. He's like this. That's how we all. And you haven't talked about it with him.
Yeah, I don't know. The idea of, earlier today, I was imagining, this is what my fantasies are, having like a real conversation with my parents where we share our feelings, and I almost got nauseous.
Yeah.
It was so outside my reality to be like, well, how do you really feel about this? Like, if my dad ever said to me, I'm proud of you, it just doesn't feel like part of reality. Like, yeah. If I would be like, what did you do with my dad, Tony Shalhoub? Because yeah. It's so outside of, like, just him saying that to me made me feel embarrassed. Like, my face turned red. Just right. Me thinking about that idea.
Because, but it's like, not for him, for yourself.
For myself. Yeah.
Because it's something that's so, it's like all of a sudden you're in a bathtub and someone's washing your little hindquarters.
Right.
Like, it's too intimate. It's too emotional.
But part of it, I know, is that it would take so much effort for him to say that I would feel guilty for putting him, making him make that effort.
Yeah. My dad told me, I think I've told the story before, like, it was back when we were just, the only thing I had going was a Channel 101 pilot for acceptable TV and for VH1 and all the
I watched that show. That
kids.
Show was great before you, before we knew each other. Yes. Not before you.
Before me. Well, they fired me for a season and the sketches were yeah.
But there were two seasons?
No, I'm kidding. We had a party to celebrate acceptable TV being on VH1, so it was all the Channel 101 kids, and we all felt kind of like, we did it. We did something. We built something together. We're going to have a TV show. You know, how could this ever go wrong? And a whole bar full of them. And my parents just happened to be visiting. And my dad, I walked, and it got too late for them because they're old folk. And I walked them to their car. They were going to go to the hotel. And they're in the parking lot behind the Club TG in Glendale. My dad said, I didn't even realize I've been waiting to hear it. He was like, all those people in there, you know, they're all there because of you. It's, they really look up to you. Very, very proud of you. And I was like, okay, all right, cool. Yeah, thanks, man. Have a safe drive home. I'm going to go explode in a urinal.
It's like that
not coming. I just meant I would be seeking privacy and there would probably be a urinal there. I didn't mean I'm going to come.
Although, I don't know. Maybe I would come. I don't know what reaction my body would have if my dad said that to me. It's sort of like what you described as that moment in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles where he puts his hand in the buddy. He's like, it's not pillows. And he's like, oh, the football game is pretty good. We've made ourselves vulnerable to each other in ways that we don't know what to do with.
And then when my dad came out, the next time he was in L.A., was it happened to be the night that Chevy Chase walked off the set of the last episode of the third season. And then we went to this, and he saw how upset I was because I got the text message, Chevy walked off the set, the tag is ruined, blah, blah, blah. Went to the rap party and I did that thing that I did.
That was that night.
You see in TMZ referred to as me ridiculing him in front of his wife and kids, who are all 50. in front of his kids. He's not Clark Griswold. His kids have television shows. His kids are senators. Like, they can handle it. They're on Lipitor. They've got their own problems. Oh!
Papa, Papa, what did that strange man say to you?
they were all on Rascals. It's not what you think when you hear it. It was very funny at the time. But I just remember my dad at that rap party, like because, you know, there'd be like one guy came up to me and it was like, you know, and I totally understand this. I look back on all of it. I was I'm an asshole, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I love my show too much and I'm a fucking petty dick and I have opposite control defiant disorder or whatever, or drunken slur disorder. But at the time, it was like, look, I took that negative behavior, I turned it into something positive at the rap party, blah, blah, blah. It's like one of the crew members who was very respectful, who loved Chevy in spite of everything, was like trying to explain to me in front of my dad, who must be a huge Chevy Chase fan. My dad's a baby boomer. He grew up and all this stuff. So, and he's like, yeah, but Chevy, he's a personality. He's an asset and all this stuff. And my dad just unexpectedly like saying to this guy, like, look, you know, if you run a business, you tell me that if I run a carpet business and your personality means you can't lift carpet, you're fucking fired.
Yeah. And then you came in a urinal.
And then I went and came in a urinal again. I was like, I finally got, either my dad got so zen and realized that he had, like, or I got so old that, like, what finally, like, we're the same guy. He's saying what's about to come out of my mouth. Anyways.
So this is interesting. I just, Emily and I are writing a movie together, and I just realized right now, the movie ends, I have this conversation with my dad, that, and it's the conversation of my dreams that I'm never going to have in real life that I wrote in this movie. I just realized that. I was like, oh my God, it's like the secret. Oh, fuck you. I just realized that. I just wrote that conversation so that in some way it'll be real in my head, even if it won't be physically real. Some part of my memory will confuse it and be like, oh yeah, you guys had that talk.
It always makes me wonder, like, if our generation has kids, like, how's that trickle work? It's like, you got my grandpas who were at Guadalcanal, and the other one was at somewhere in the European theater, both of them running around stabbing and shooting and risking their lives. Both of them come back home, never say a word about it. Let alone publish a blog about it or a recipe book or you have that silent generation, the greatest generation, and then the baby boomer generation. They're like, they weren't exactly quiet, but they had a little more class than my generation in terms of like talking about their feelings and stuff. And then I wonder, is this just a slow continuum? Like, pretty soon are you just going to have a baby and the baby's crying and you're just crying with it? And then you just both cry you both suck your thumb and kind of just roll around. That's how I'm going to do it, probably. I say, because Aaron made that tavern in my house upstairs. You know,
McHarmon's.
Like, I thought, this is a great nursery, because you could put a crib in the middle of it, and it made me really realize, like, you could just have bottles of vodka and bottles of milk along the wall. And I could just sit in there and we could both just shit our pants and cry and talk about how we hate being told when to go to bed.
I mean, we talked about this where we were talking about, like, am I going to have kids or not? I was like, I don't feel like a grown-up. I feel like I'm still shitting my pants. Like, my dad was always a grown-up to me, you know? And it felt like he had the authority to raise a child. I don't have the authority to raise a child. Like, what are we going to... Yeah. What do I want to talk to this little... Like, what's the world like? I don't know. I've been saving Hyrule my whole life, you know? I've saved it, like, 20 times over. That's all I know. I don't know anything. Is everyone just faking it? Or do people know?
I think some people don't have to fake it in some areas. Like, some people are just really good at, like, putting a car up on blocks and changing the oil and the tires or whatever the hell they do. And they don't even get to enjoy it that much because they're not as good at writing a sonnet. And I don't know. It all comes out in the wash. I don't know. Like, I'm not saying that a guy that can fix a car can't write a poem. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying he's dumb just because he's handy. I'm just mean that we all have, like, a bingo card. You know, like, you just have random shit. There's a guy out there that's like, I'm good at fixing the car and writing the sonnets, yeah. but they gotta be bad at gardening or managing their emotions or something. Like there's something that you do and I do that's like quote unquote manlier than average. Just one like random category. You wouldn't be able to recognize it from across a room. There's some specific, but maybe it's just the amount of bullying you'll put up with.
That doesn't feel very manly.
I know, but there's if taken to an extreme, you know? Martin Luther King. You know, like at a certain point you become a real man, like for putting up with a lot of shit. You can change the world by putting up with it. Watch this segue. Check it out.
Okay. I'm so excited.
Sometimes you think I'm not ready to be a dad. I couldn't be a dad because I'm not a grown-up.
Yeah.
I was feeling like that when we watched The X-Files because I was on your
X-Files thing
because I was watching David Duchovny and it's like Fox Mulder was 29 years old in season one of X-Files. And I thought, he's a grown-up. Like, I'm 41 and he's just still a grown-up to me. Speaking of X-Files and X-Files podcasts and conspiracy theories, there's a new podcast in town, Kumail.
Well done, Dan.
That is also about those things, but it's not based on the fictional. It's based on the fiction that people either believe in or don't that happens in real life. It's called Real Life Sci-Fi. Did I get that title right? Yeah. And it's by our very old Channel 101 friends, our comrades. Let's have them out here to talk about their new podcast, Willie Roberts and Wade Randolph. I could have done that better.
No, that was fucking perfect.
Kind of weak, I think.
I don't know why I... Well, see, there you go. You guys have that... You guys have a Scully-Mulder relationship on the show, right? Wade's the skeptic.
I never seen X-Files.
What?
But, what? That sucks.
I'm the... Smulder?
Yeah, Scully. The Smulder, Scully. Yes. The Smulder.
You know the names.
Scully. I honestly don't.
You don't know Scully and Mulder?
No.
And you're doing a conspiracy theory podcast?
It's not about... You're fucking bullshit.
It's about real stuff.
They're clapping for me.
I don't think they are.
They just want to fight. They want the loose change to hit the floor. So is it just conspiracy theories, or is it like also?
Well, it's eventually going to be everything.
Because you'll run out.
It's real life sci-fi, like you know,
Bigfoot, ghosts, UFOs.
Is the focus always on whether it's real or not?
Wait,
well,
you can,
yeah, kind of. I mean, yeah. Willie,
here's the thing. If you talk to anybody who is into conspiracy theories, there's too much information. And so, like, in order for it to be yes or no is hard because it's like you could just ramble on. And a lot of things don't connect.
So if I were to say Hollow Earth... Which I've always been fascinated by.
That's a good one.
Like Hollow Earth to me.
Well, Willie believes everything he reads.
Willie does.
Yeah. And I don't.
I give everything I read a chance. Like to me, Hollow Earth thing is an interdimensional thing. Not like a...
How do you mean?
Like if you read about the guy who said he was flying his plane and then he was over North Pole and then there was a hole opening and he went through it.
It's like Zaxxon.
Yeah. To me, that was maybe he hit
an
interdimensional portal that was caused by some magnetic field disruption.
Right. Is that the story? He was flying over the North Pole?
And then where did he end up?
And he saw a hole and flew into it?
Yeah, where did he end up?
There was one guy who did
you're
that.
You're right.
Yeah.
If you're a pilot and you see a hole, don't fly into the hole.
That's what I'm saying.
You're a terrible pilot.
How do you turn around? You know it's going to end.
The first rule of piloting is don't fly into the hole.
Avoid holes. They can only take place in ground, which is like the number one no-no in air travel.
It's the natural enemy of air travel. Underground.
Ground is cancer in air flight.
Like this particular guy's story, he flew into the middle of the earth and then the beings there landed his plane and then he met them.
And the beings in Hollow Earth, because I've read that the Hollow Earth, like it's like a like it starts with just the idea that much like the flat Earth people, like it just starts with the question: how do we know the Earth's not hollow? What do you got? Pictures of a solid Earth? And then some people, then it branches off into this tree, right? Where it's like, yeah. Some people think, oh, that's where the Nazis went.
Yeah.
And then some people go, that's where the aliens are. And then some people are like, Nazis are aliens. Oh, yeah. Which I think is amazing. I think it's fun that there are people out there who in the present day are like, weaving mythology out of the things that are really happening.
My thing is I just like to talk about all that, because normally you bring something up and it's like, oh, that was kind of interesting, this shitty article I found on the internet. I want to talk to somebody about it. And then you just get laughed at and it's like, well, I won't talk to anybody about this.
and you want to have the fun with it. But then other people are like, well, that's dangerous because it was fun to think that you could burn women at the stake in the 1500s. Like it was fun to think leeches were curing people. You need to be skeptical to protect people.
What kind of topics do you guys talk about? Just say the topics and I know for sure if they're real or not.
All right.
I actually have the information.
He's going to give you a yes or a no.
I'll tell you a yes or a no. So ask me. Tell me. Say it.
Chemtrails?
Chemtrails?
I don't know what that is.
What is that? Tell us what chemtrails are.
Chemtrails is like... Now, there's a bunch of different reasons for it or conspiracy theories about it, but that there is an additive in jet fuel that is being released over everywhere.
It's so, fake.
Making us docile?
Yeah, well, one of them is to make us docile.
Like a mind control thing.
Okay, that's not true. That one's not
true.
But,
one of them is that, like...
That
like,
one's lies.
No, Camille's right.
Yeah.
I got it. What's the next one?
But one of those is like, well, they're trying to block out some of the sun to protect us from overheating, you know, like...
Why would they not tell us if that's what they're doing?
Because everyone would say no.
Everyone would say no, don't block out the sun to keep
us. Well,
here's
the thing, like...
I know it's not working because we can see the fucking sun.
It's
out there every day.
If you look at history, though, the government has done tests on people without their permission forever.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, conspiracy. That's the cool thing about conspiracy theories is like there's it's an interesting line between like there are some people who talk in fantastical terms, and have a flexible grip on logic that will. Abuse it, so the scientific mind says, well, we have to protect the underlings from this kind of stuff. You have to be skeptical and use scientific method. But, however, the healthy thing about paranoia is that you should never trust the government. And it always turns out every 30 years that they were doing fucked up shit 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Always.
And even though I do hate the word the government, because like even within
That's
our
two
government,
words.
There's 20 secret groups that don't work.
Sorry. Right. What an asshole.
Yeah, I know. Me and Adam said it together, and I immediately knew I was.
Yeah.
I knew I was on
That's
the wrong
not
side.
Good company.
I'm sorry, Willie. All
right. Ghosts?
Ghosts, not real. Fake.
What about ghost dads?
Come, take it easy, Adam.
Fluoridating the water?
What do you guys think of ghosts? What's your take on it?
We haven't covered it yet. I could be convinced, maybe.
You could be convinced?
Yeah.
Dad, what do you think?
I don't think that dead... people keep being people. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And I feel like light bounces off of solid things.
But if Jeff Davis was here,
he could
tell you like four ghost stories.
Yeah, he has a lot of ghost stories.
And they're great.
I am willing to believe. I definitely, because to me, skepticism loses its value at the point where it starts to become dogmatic, where you start to assume that the things you know everything about. So I do believe that it's perfectly possible that there's like. That because we're evolved from apes that our only biological purpose is to recognize a good banana from a bad one, and we've graduated into this world where we're starting to understand things. It's totally possible that there's a lot more ways to perceive things than we actually...
You kind of bring up a good point, though, because there's no ape ghosts. Nobody ever...
Well, that was my biggest argument.
There was an X-Files about animal ghosts, wasn't
Fuck.
There?
Yes. You gotta watch this show.
Great episode. Yeah.
Like, you don't find, like... You'd think that there'd be, like, Native American ghosts in the free country, or in the open land.
But they
land,
never... Native Americans,
like,
I don't
want
to be
ghosts.
Racist, but they never die with unfinished business. They use the whole life... I can explain that. They're famous for it. It's not racism if it's a good stereotype.
No, it's good. It's totally good.
I just riffed that. Isn't that awesome?
No.
I'm a really good racist. I'm a really
You're like a genius.
Yeah.
It was really good.
It felt like you'd written that at home. It was real good racism. It was really good.
It was a good quick defense.
Go ahead.
No, I just connect dots with races and stereotypes. No, I could take credit for it all night. Let's go on.
So, but for you, Dan, for you to be open to the idea of ghosts, don't you have to change pretty fundamental things about how you see
well,
the
no,
world?
Well, no, because I don't automatically assume that when we talk about ghosts, what I think about ghosts is when you're in your apartment brushing your teeth and you turn and you go, "What fuck?" There's a fucking dude with a 10-speed bike over his shoulder walking through my living room.
That's a fuck of a ghost.
Like that could be explained by a lot of things that don't have to do with there being a heaven or, you know, people dying and their skin falling away and them just like going, "I love 10 speeds and I'm going to go spread the word because I got to solve my murder." It could be like a psychic smudge. It could be that person...
Like residual energy or something
that
like
every,
that?
That person fell in love with a woman and every morning when he hoisted his 10-speed over his shoulder to go to work in that apartment, his heart became filled with this emotional energy that over time, the way a key on your keyboard can become melted if you work in a data entry lab, like the home row is melted from friction of hitting the same button over the same amount of time.
And it's just brought out by you brushing your teeth.
It's human perception. This is assuming that there's some fields that we haven't discovered yet of that we can perceive. One of them is light bouncing into our retina, and then maybe some of it is somehow this would get into psychic energy that this guy had this experience. He would eat a nut bar and he'd throw his bike over his shoulder, and it was like somehow for him it was like a big deal. He did it over and over again, or he did it one day and it was like he achieved self-actualization at that moment, or he was really angry or whatever, but there's like some weird like fingerprint on the film.
Yeah,
and like, then you turn as you're brushing your teeth and you see that guy's feelings, you see his self-image, he left it there in your apartment, you go, "Ah!"
Yeah, some kind of like residual energy echo that we'll just never know about, or yeah. I don't know. I mean, like I'm open to most things, but I
don't think I would ever like wake up and there'd be a guy sitting on my bed going like "Hey,
yeah, listen,
I'm Napoleon. I buried my hat at McDonald's."
Yeah,
and then you go.
He's like, "I have unfinished business. Wait, do we have to take over Russia now? Because
all these cabinets should be open.
You just gotta find my hat. It's under the McDonald's. Go find it. You could make a lot of money on that hat."
But if you know, when you get into, I just started. Time. Okay, time, fellas. It's symmetrical. Yes. Like we're experiencing it one moment after another. But there's all this. I mean, I need a couple more degrees and a few more IQ points before I can really understand this or explain it. But smart people will tell you that time. Time unfolds
time
in
is
all
a flat
directions.
Circle. Is that what you're?
Well, that anything you can describe that happens
circle,
in time,
guys.
Like, well, first of all, time is a variable, and blah blah blah. So when your cabinet doors are open, they've all come open overnight. Yeah, maybe some lady that lived in your apartment like opened them in 1938, and like somehow like. You know, time got shuffled, or but yeah, I just don't believe in like helpful ghosts. like helping you, like talking to you, going like, "Hey, I'm dead," and you're like, "You're dead. Get out of here." And he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so dead." For some reason, I draw the line at like just dialogue.
Yeah.
It just starts to get corny.
No, that's a huge leap from just like a smudge on the film to like unfinished business. That's a big leap. Yeah. I get it. I agree.
Well, like to me, unfinished business is so it can be so like the unfinished business you have right now, and you're all alive, is like. Can be so
sounds like a romantic comedy that
and
we're writing.
Stupid,
unfinished business. I just remembered something really funny. I was because I did this media conference in the beautiful Rocky Mountains of Canada, where there was this, it was staying in this hotel that was absolutely shining, like all the good parts of The Shining, like all the beautiful parts, none of the dead Scatman Crothers or anything. And I kept saying, I was like, oh yeah, this place is this place is definitely haunted. If any place is haunted, that's the air coming out of the show? Okay.
I think it's a smudge on the film. There was a woman who used to dry her hair here 30 years ago.
I was out on a patio at a party with Aaron, and it was like, oh yeah, that place is probably haunted. And this guy was like, oh yeah, have you seen Toby? Or like some guy's name, or like, who's Toby? He's like, oh, the bellman, yeah. He definitely people see him there at the hotel. I'm like, oh yeah, what does he do? It's like, oh, you know, he's the bellman. He just he'll take your luggage and it's like, I thought it was so funny, the idea of a Canadian ghost.
Have you ever
ghost.
Lost a bag? Because that's Toby.
He's taking your bag. He's a Canadian ghost. His unfinished business is just his job.
He never experienced love.
Oh, geez, you know what? I forgot to thank Mr. Henderson in 314. I should really tell him good job.
Very sad. That's very sad. I love the idea of a ghost who just is like, oh, God, I still have to do the terrible job I had.
And we were falling over ourselves because I'm sure the guy walked away like, he's fucking American assholes. But like, I was like, does he say boo?
See?
How does he They'll pronounce? See? My big question is, how does a Canadian ghost pronounce boo? All right.
What are you doing?
There were a couple false starts on that joke. It would have really killed. All right, so
boo.
You don't belong here.
that's good. That's something.
But I was on the first episode of your podcast, and we talked about UFOs.
Yeah, we
whether they're real or not.
We're focusing more on the moon landing being faked.
Oh yeah, the moon landing being fake, right?
Because the moon, according to you, is a metal base.
A metal
it
base?
It could be.
Well, when things hit it, it sounds like a bell. And none of the craters are deeper than the others or something?
When things hit it, it sounds like a bell?
They blew up. They put a bomb on the moon, and they said some people claim that it rang like a bell.
When did they put a bomb on the moon? I didn't get so to much, vote for this.
Yeah,
there's so much to buy into this story.
Like, here's the thing.
So many barriers.
I don't care what you believe about the moon. It's weird that we bombed the moon and, like, most people don't know about it. Like,
yeah.
Like,
wait, yeah. What? When did we...
Yeah.
We were looking for water.
Yeah, but we didn't tell anybody we were looking for water. They're like, oh, just send this bomb out to the moon.
But was it a nuke? Was it a nuke or was it
just a regular bomb?
It was just like a bundle of TNT with an alarm clock on it. Said with the NASA logo. Yeah. There's like, that whole thing about us being warned off the moon. Conspiracy theorists love that. The idea that we haven't been actually, you know, done a moon mission since forever, and that the idea is that we got there, and then an alien said, "Get out of here!
Yeah,
you get out of my moon! You damn kids!
You got the big one
moon
right there!
Yeah, yours is bigger than ours. Let me have this one.
What do you need to
There's
be here
There's just like
for?
Eight of us here, and we got the moon. You guys got the big one.
But what are the conspiracy theories about the moon? You said that the other side of the moon, the dark side of the moon, has like a base on it.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Oh, that's funny. But I'll get into this real quick. I've been looking for UFOs my whole life and I've never seen them. And then one year I saw like 30 all at once. And I called someone from across town. They
like
saw
a,
some
like
of them.
Like a fleet of them?
Yeah.
I like that there's more to this story that has nothing to do with you having seen 30 UFOs. How did you see 30 UFOs? Explain that part.
I like to look at the sky. I'm fascinated by planes.
They're just silver things in the sky.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they're aliens.
Just saying they're unidentified flying objects. 30 of them.
And they look like stars in the middle of the day. It's like they're hard to focus on. You look at the blue sky and you got like eye boogers and weird like eye snakes and you can't focus. You don't know what your focal length is. And then, so like, I'll see one, I'll look away, and it'll be hard to find, but I'll always be with people and be like, hey, look at that. What do you think it is? And we'll look at it for like a half hour, and it doesn't do anything that I recognize, you know. And I saw 30 one day, and this is the first time I saw any. I thought an alien invasion was happening. I took pictures, I took video, I was drawing, like, some of them were moving, some of them weren't. There were red ones and green ones. And then I watched the skies for the rest of the day. They had changed the flight patterns for Burbank and LAX.
But that's just bullshit.
Really?
You don't know that. You should look up online the flight patterns.
Wait, what?
Well, no. I look at the flight patterns all the time. Like when the wind changes, you
just
see
watch
where they,
the skies and then you go, oh, there's no planes.
But you can see where they redirected
Wait, there was one day of your life where you thought an alien invasion was imminent?
Yeah.
Did we already know each other then?
Yeah.
Why didn't you fucking text me?
Well, here's the thing.
If you think an alien invasion, I want to be on the list of people. Well, like, hey, shit's going down, Kamel. Get on the ground.
I was sitting there going like, is this
just fucking text me, dude. I'll be the one to judge. You just text me.
You're going to get a text every other day.
You're going to get a lot of texts. This guy sees 30 a day.
Okay, here's the thing.
It's
going to
be like a bad newsletter you can't unsubscribe from.
I drew out a map of the ones that were stationary and the ones that were moving, and to me it was like, oh, this looks like a constellation, and I'll
look out
at night.
Could other people see them too?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've been with at least 30 people, and I've been like, what's that?
Is 30 just the number?
It's only 30.
Is that the highest you can count?
I could say 10 names right now off the top of my head.
Say them. Obama.
You were with... yeah.
Wayne,
Obama. Margaret Thatcher.
Shane. Jen. I mean, I've been with, like, groups of people.
And people have seen these things.
Yeah.
These armadas.
I mean, I've seen them. But not an armada. I've seen, like, one or two... And they're just silver things.
But here's my thing. Okay, I saw these things, and then I started telling people because I'm like, to me, it was like, this is kind of fucking weird. I should tell everyone I know.
Didn't tell me.
And
I guess I'm not one of the people.
I even told Wade at the first party I went to. I don't know if you remember, but like you just kind of laughed it off, and like nobody was listening to me, and I was like, this is weird because I saw something that to me, I'm not saying they're aliens. I'm just saying this was life-changing to me because there were things in the sky that I didn't know what they were. And it made me think, and everyone was basically laughing or not believing it, and it made me go like, well, everybody that has a weird story that people laugh at, like, I want to listen to their story a little more.
Yeah, every sci-fi movie, your character is the good guy, but in life, you're the crazy guy.
Your only recourse is to write sci-fi movies. Do you guys have people on the show that are like experts, like ufologists?
Not yet. I want to get there, though.
They had me on. Like, you believe in UFOs? I was like, it's possible.
And he's seen all the X-Files.
Yeah. So. Well, I would talk to you guys all night, but my sluggishness means we got a train schedule to keep. It's real life sci-fi. It's on Feral Audio.
Yeah. I think it launches Monday. It's going to be on Feral Audio on Monday, which is today, I guess, for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, it'll be today when most people hear about
this. This is a crazy audience, by the way, because they're willing to not watch the Game of Thrones finale.
Most of them watch it on the East Coast feed.
Oh, you've already seen it? Okay, don't tell
How
me.
How was it?
Good, real good.
They GVR. No, they're very it's we have a relationship here. These guys are good.
Yeah,
good,
it's insane.
Good people.
I understand the NBA finals. You guys can miss that. But Game of Thrones, shit.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Wade Randolph, Willie Roberts.
Thanks for
coming
having
by.
Us.
Yeah. Thanks for having us on.
Real life sci-fi. Hey, just put it down. All right, so we got to keep the train speeding along. I've fucked up real bad. I've made our show real long.
Is it going too long?
No, I just mean there's so much to do.
Yeah. There's so much to do.
There's one other thing to do.
Let's go on to the next segment.
Aaron McGathy, will you come out, please? This is my fiance.
Hi, everybody. Hi. So I'm here for a special reason.
Yes.
The Harmontown documentary is premiering tomorrow night. And we actually have two tickets to the Harmontown documentary, and Dan was like, "How should we give these away?" And I begged to do a McGathy game corner. Yeah! And he said no. So no, he said yes. So is there anybody here who does not have tickets tomorrow and really wants to go? All right, we got two hands here. Come on up, sir. What's your name?
Daniel.
Daniel. Right? And then hands again.
We should do a lady one. We should do a lady one, right? Someone who would actually go.
Okay, all right, we got a waving hand. I'm sorry, you have a very sweet face. Here, come on. All right, hello. I already forgot your name. What was your name again?
Daniel.
What was your name?
Bethany.
Bethany, fantastic. And Kumail, I'm going to...
Do they need microphones? Because I have an extra one here.
They do. Okay, let's make sure... Is there another one? Perfect.
I can sit. Do they need another one? Because I can sit. Okay.
No, we're good. Okay. We're all set.
And I'll explain the game in a second, but Camille, I'm going to have you keep score.
Great.
And I'm going to give you both these cards that say
what are the names?
Name.
Bethany and what now?
Dan.
How's that spelled?
All right, Bethany and Dan.
And B-A-N.
Your materials.
Thank you.
All right. I haven't discussed this game with anybody else. It's only just been in my head, so we'll see.
Should I be looking at any of this? Or should I?
You can. All right. So we are going to play a game called Harmonized Impressions.
She's got a...
Harmonized Impressions. Impressions. That's a theme song. Harmonized Impressions, everybody. Welcome.
Harmonized Impressions.
Welcome to Harmonized Impressions. Now, there are a lot of things that I love. I love ice cream. I love communing with nature. But one of the theme song is still going on behind me. But one of the things I love more than anything are Dan Harmon's impressions. What we're going to do... is Dan has a book of Bartlett's quotes in front of him. And there are different categories. We're going to go back and forth, and I'm going to give you, Bethany and Dan, I'm going to give you the choice of two different categories. When it's your turn, you get to pick the category. Dan is going to read a quote from Bartlett's quote book in the impression that I've already listed for him on a piece of paper. And then you will have a choice of three different names to choose who he is doing an impression of. Yeah,
that sounds
so
good.
And to decide who goes first, we're gonna have you both do your best Dan impression. And I'm just gonna decide really quick. All right, Bethany.
Here we go. All right.
Excellent. Dan?
I fuck your mama.
All right. I'm going to have to go with Bethany. Bethany is good. All right, Bethany. Oh, and you're holding cards that say Kumail.
Yes.
During the game, if Dan does his impression and you are totally stumped, you can use your Kumail card. You can only use it once, and then Kumail will do the same impression.
Okay. So I'll read it. You'll get the
quote and everything, and you will do your best impression. And
I'm terrible at impressions. They all sound like a Pakistani guy.
So we ring in.
You don't ring in. So you're going to go first. So this is your turn.
Okay.
Bethany, go for it.
Yeah. Ooh. And your two categories that you get to choose from are Captain's Log or I'm a Bitch, I'm a Lover.
I'm a bitch.
I'm gonna go with I'm a Bitch, I'm a Lover.
Excellent. So these are three women who are known for performing at Lilith Fair.
Okay. All right. I get it. All right. So, and I just read a quote.
Yeah, read any quote. You see the name in front of you. And I'm wait for me to give you the multiple choice after he reads it.
Okay, multiple choice.
Here we go. I'm a bitch, I'm a lover.
All this will not be finished in the first 100 days. Nor will it be finished on the first 1,000 days.
I know who it is.
Nor in the life of this administration. Nor even perhaps in our lifetime on this planet. But let us begin.
All right, great. So is that...
That's fucking...
That was great. Is that... Is Dan doing an impression of A, Tori Amos?
Yes.
B, Lisa Loeb? C, Sarah McLachlan?
Can I get the choices again?
A, Tori Amos. B, Lisa Loeb. C, Sarah McLachlan.
Audience answers is showing A. I'm going to go with A.
That is correct.
Hey, 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 hey.
Dan, that was pretty fucking great.
Thanks.
Great.
So Bethany has one point?
Bethany has 1 point. Now it's Dan's turn. And I forgot to mention that if you get it wrong, you'll get the chicken. All right, here we go. Dan, you can choose from these categories, Captain's Log or Bloody Funny.
Let's go with Captain's Log.
Captain's Log. All right. These are three characters from Star Trek, First Generation.
Genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration.
All right. Is that A, Chekhov, B, Sulu, C, Spock?
Let's go C. C is Spock.
No! It's Sulu, right?
It is Sulu. He got the chicken. He got the chicken.
I just wanted the chicken, sorry.
All right, Bethany, you can choose from Bloody Funny or Vogue.
I'm going to do Bloody Funny.
Bloody Funny. All right. These are well-known... this is a well-known British comedian.
I don't even... I mean...
Men do not care how nobly they live, but only how long. Although it is within the reach of every man to have nobly, but within no man's power to live long.
All right. All right, so was that A, Ricky Gervais, B, Russell Brand, C, Eddie Izzard?
Oh. It's either A or C. Yeah. I'm gonna go with C. Woo!
Yeah! No!
Oh! Can I guess?
Yeah.
B.
Yeah, it was Russell Brand.
The one that. Come
on. A lot of this is chance because you're picking between the two.
Yeah.
All right, Dan.
I'm scanning down this list of people now, and I'm.
All right, Dan. Vogue or Rocket Men?
Rocket Man.
All right. This is the host of a science-related show.
Jesus.
Walk not on the earth exultantly, for thou canst not cleave the earth, neither shalt thou reach to the mountains in height.
Great. So is that... I didn't mean to sound so dry. Is that A, Adam Savage, B, Bill Nye, or C, Neil deGrasse Tyson? Dan has just pulled his Camille card. He has just pulled his Camille card.
I'm terrible at impressions.
Thank you. So Camille is going to read this exact same quote.
It's the one from the Quran. Walk not on earth. So no excuses.
All right, here we go.
I honestly don't know what this person sounds like. I'm just going to do an impression of Dan. Doing an impression of this person. Fuck. Weirdly, this is going to be the first ever recording of me reading anything from the Quran. So... Who could have predicted this?
walk down on the earth exultantly, for thou canst not cleave the earth. Neither shalt thou reach to the mountains in height. That's me doing an impression, definitely not of the other people. Okay. Just so they know who it isn't.
All right, what do you think, Dan?
Let's go Neil deGrasse Tyson.
That is correct! Yay! Well done.
Nice.
All right. Bethany, Vogue or Drink the Kool-Aid? So your categories, Vogue or Drink the Kool-Aid?
Vogue.
All right. These are famous supermodels. So Dan is going to do an impression of a supermodel. A specific one.
I don't know what this sounds like either.
One of the things which distinguishes ours from all earlier generations is this, that we have seen our atoms.
I've never heard this person talk.
That's right. You know, some of the categories.
Can I see that?
Yeah. Yeah. So is that A, Cindy Crawford, B, Brooke Shields, or C, Iman?
Let's go with
C.
A.
That is correct!
She can hear my mole.
Yeah. A lot of people in the audience are yelling out C, so maybe you do a good Iman.
Do you guys never see House of Style? She talked. Do you guys know House of Style?
No.
She talked on that all the time.
I never watched House of Style.
Camille, what's the score?
Bethany 2, Dan 0. But all Bethany right. did go. Dan 1. But Bethany did go first, so. Yes.
Right,
you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Dan, Drink the Kool-Aid or Free Entertainment?
Free Entertainment.
All right. These are, this is a podcast host.
One of the things which distinguishes ours from all earlier generations is this, that we have seen our atoms.
Is that A, Paul F. Tompkins, B, Mark Maron, C, Ira Glass?
Can I see the list?
Go with A.
That is correct! Yeah.
Although I would love to see Dan's Ira Glass.
Do it.
We're back with public radio. One of the things I found most interesting since you left us is the story about Jacob.
Now, Jacob.
Who lost his leg.
Yeah.
Now, Jacob. In a cup of water. What does that do to a person? How many legs do you need? We'll be right back.
I don't know.
So that was Dan. You guessed that right.
That was Dan.
So it's tied 2-2.
All right, Bethany, Drink the Kool-Aid or Wicked Packing?
I'll go Wicked Packing.
All right. These are act. This is an actor from Boston.
There is only one proved method of assisting the advancement of pure science, that of picking men of genius, backing them heavily, and leaving them to direct themselves.
All right. Was that A, Ben Affleck, B, Donald Logue, C, Mark Wahlberg?
I might want to do that. How many rounds are left?
Three, four. Well, as far as rounds go, so I guess technically two. I don't know. I'm not good with numbers.
Okay, so it was Ben Affleck and
Mark Wahlberg, Donald Logue.
Donald Logue. I'm gonna go with Donald Logue.
No. That was Mark Wahlberg.
Nope.
Hey, little dog.
It's a contextual
You're
impression.
A
I mean,
yeah,
you have
yeah,
to be
yeah.
talking to an
you
animal.
You have to change the words. Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
I'm Mark Wahlberg. All right, Dan. Your categories to choose from are Drink the Kool-Aid or La La Royalty.
go drink the Kool-Aid.
All right. This is a famous cult leader.
Shit.
You gain strength, courage, confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look for fear in the face. You're able to say to yourself, I lived through this home. I can take this next thing that comes along. You must do the thing that you think you cannot do.
So was that A, Charles Manson, B, Jim Jones, C, David Koresh?
Let's go with the first one.
That is correct.
Dan pulls ahead, 3-2.
That was Bob Odenkirk's impression of Charles Manson from the 1992 Ben Stiller sketch, which you should Google, watch online. It's called Manson. It's a Lassie thing. It's very funny.
All right, Bethany, your choice is between La La Royalty and Come Together.
I'm going to do Come Together.
All right. So this is a Beatle.
Death and taxes and childbirth. There's never any convenient time for any of them.
Also, that's just a Beatle.
Beatle. You averaged all the Beatles. That's your impression of all of them.
Work so expands so as to fill the time available for its completion.
So is that A, John Lennon, B, Ringo Starr, C, Paul McCartney, D, George Harrison?
D, all of the above.
Ringo.
Paul.
That is correct!
Wow. Yes. I always was the distinct one.
All right, Dan. La La Royalty or House of Incest?
Oh, is that a Game of Thrones thing?
Let's go House of Incest.
All right. This is a Lannister. Oh,
peace is not an absence of war. It is a virtue, a state of mind, a disposition for benevolence, confidence, justice.
Oh, shit.
Was that A, Jaime Lannister, B, Tyrion Lannister, C, Joffrey Lannister?
Joffrey?
That is correct. All right, final round.
Okay, Bethany, you got to get this to stay alive. You have to get this right.
And I recommend you use your Camille card.
I was going to say, I should use my
Camille
card.
It's 3-4 right now.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Oh, and this is worth 2 points.
Oh. Okay. Woo! All right. So you're tied.
Oh, no. Oh,
it's 3-4. No, if she gets it, is it 1 or 2? If it's 2, then whoever gets this right wins.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Unless she gets it wrong, then I'm fine.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna stick with my dumb suggestion. That's 2 points. All right. So you get to choose between La La Royalty or Good Day, Ladies.
Good Day, Ladies.
All right. This is an Australian actress.
Oh boy.
It's an Australian actress. Take it away, Dan.
How much time he.
Irish actress?
How much time he gains who does not look to see what the neighbor says or does.
Bloody terrible.
Yes, it's bloody terrible. You should have seen the other option. I would. I'm going to take a shorter quote.
Better 3 hours too soon than a minute too late. Thank you.
All right, was that A, Nicole Kidman, B, Cate Blanchett, or C, Toni Collette? I see you itching at your Camille card.
I'm going to use my
Camille card. All right, Camille card. Woo!
It's this Shakespeare one. Better 3 hours too soon. Okay. All right. I have to. Okay. I'm gonna make really dumb eyes for this one. I have to make my eyes really empty. Better 3 hours too soon than a minute too light.
Well done.
All right. I think that actually helped.
So is that Nicole Kidman, Kate Blanchett, or Toni Collette?
I'm going to go with Nicole Kidman.
That is correct. Woo!
Who does not speak with an Australian accent.
It feels like she's from everywhere and nowhere. It feels like the ocean birthed her.
She comes out for award shows and she's got the glasses with the gown and she speaks like any old British person.
It's like a faint accent.
Yeah. Everyone has an accent.
All right, so this is the final. question.
He made an expression after he said that. Like the caption was nailed it. Hashtag.
All right, this is the final question.
Wait, I thought that was the final one.
Well, I really want Dan to do this one.
All right, okay, so it's pretty good.
So this is, this is just, pride question. Okay.
You got to get it right to win.
So this is the category La La Royalty, which is famous.
You know that I don't know who this person is.
You don't know who that is?
No, I don't know who this person is.
Well,
it looks like just
the impression.
What? Can you tell me who it is? She can talk?
Can I see him?
It's more about the other two being just try it.
Okay,
great.
Just make a guess.
Really good.
Here we go.
Wait, what is this category?
This is our famous daughters
La La Royalty
of Hollywood.
Nothing but truth is lovely. Nothing fair.
By the way, if there was a little girl that sounded like that, take her to the doctor.
Or she'd be, put in a bag and thrown in a river.
Yeah, throw that in the river. Yeah, is that a tremor talking? What is that?
I'm not the criminal here. Like, look at this list of names she wrote down for me to do. There's not a Vincent Price on here. Yeah. I only do three impressions. Where's Liam Neeson? Where's...
Ask Vincent Price, tell her that you want to do an impression of Liam Neeson.
How come you didn't let Dan do the right impressions?
All right. Who was the goddamn person I did?
All right. Was that A, Suri Cruz, B, Willow Smith, or C, Miley Cyrus?
What was the first one?
Suri Cruz.
I gotta say, one of those three people's parents is way less of a megastar. Like, Suri Cruz is Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. I mean, Kate, whatever. Katie Holmes.
Cake. Yeah, just cake. And Tom Cruise achieved a thetan level so high. He can reproduce with cake. That's level 32. Well, costs $780,000. You achieve the ability to reproduce with cake.
Willow Smith is Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith. And then Miley Cyrus is Billy Ray Cyrus, who we didn't really know until Miley Cyrus showed up.
That's why he's always such a permissive parent in all his interviews. He's like, yeah, fuck it, I don't care. Yeah. Well, you see some of her titty? Good on her. All the way to the bank.
Some of her titty.
So, Dan, who do you think it is?
I'll just say Suri Cruz.
That is correct.
Oh, Dan wins.
Well, congratulations. Wait, who won?
Dan won.
Oh, he did? Oh.
I think America
won. He was behind,
won.
And then he had a big comeback.
But I normally think this is lame when people do this, but I want to give you guys both tickets. Yay. Not that I think it's lame when people give people things, but I mean...
They both get a pair of tickets, right? So they can bring
it. Yeah, they both get a pair of tickets.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Thanks, guys. Woo! Here for Duffy and Dan. Thank you. I could have made that shorter.
Did we miss anybody on there? I mean, Sulu I could do.
Sulu was great. Your Sulu was great, Dan.
Well, if I was to ever do this game again, I would mix it in with some ringers. There'd be more ringers. I was trying to challenge you. I thought maybe you'd discover a new impression that you do.
Yeah, yeah. I thought my Paul F. Tompkins was kind of okay.
Yeah.
He has a jovial quality to it when he does interviews. It's not like the way he talks actually at all.
Paul, what's your favorite afternoon snack?
I love Skittles.
Do you just eat them alone, or do you...
I eat them with a celebrity interview on Speakeasy. It's a YouTube interview show that I was on. You can see my episode coming up soon.
Should we bring Spencer out?
Yeah, let's bring Spencer out. Yeah. Kumail, that was some hot comp trolling right there.
Yeah, what the fuck, right? Nailing it.
I almost just got murdered. This guy stepped on his foot, not his fault, but someone over there put their leg out to trip me, like right as I was coming up. Mm. Let's burn him.
Did you do it on purpose?
My leg was out. I didn't know he was coming.
It's okay. Prom guy. Did you go to prom?
Whoa! I didn't go to prom.
You didn't?
Yeah, no, I did. I went to prom.
Where's the lady that you was here?
No, she's not here.
She's
I didn't end up going.
You know who is here?
Oh.
Spencer!
You know, that guy almost fucking killed me. You're giving him a whole thing.
He's the new Spencer. That's how we... I can tell. It's like Menudo.
No, I mean, you're fine, probably. Unless you actually were trying to kill me.
No, he didn't go to prom with her, he said.
So, I mean, he's vengeant.
Why is he prom guy? How do we know so much about this guy?
He was the guy that was with the girl and he asked her to the prom and she was really awkward about it.
That very awkward thing that I did where I was like, I know something, can I?
When you were really high.
I was, yeah, I must have been. I don't remember any of this.
This is after the Renaissance Fair.
Yeah. Oh, Renaissance Fair, yeah. That's a blackout, yeah. Yeah, I haven't listened to that one. That was gone.
Spencer, did you have a nice day?
Oh, that's right.
What?
What's that? Sorry, wait.
Oh, yeah, that was the cult day. Yes, day great. Saw Game of Thrones already.
Oh.
Wait, you don't watch that show.
This guy knows. What?
You don't watch that show.
No, I don't. What kind of accusation is that?
Why wouldn't Spencer?
You don't watch Silicon Valley.
Wait, right? You're not in Game of Thrones. That's
he basically is.
I mean,
yeah.
Wait, I think
I can
you
pull
watch
off that hat.
Do you really
well,
watch?
That's different. What?
You really watch that show?
Yeah. Why wouldn't you think I?
Because you don't.
I'm
consume...
hurt.
No. You don't consume much like media.
Yeah, yeah.
He's never seen the Indiana Jones movies.
Right,
or
right.
Oh, well, I watch TV. That's the thing. I'm more of a TV guy than a movie guy.
He likes the new stuff. You like Desperate Maids.
Desperate Maids.
Not the show. Just.
What was it called? Devious Maids, right?
I have Desperate Maids of Orange County.
No. Devious Maids.
Real,
I don't like
Real
that,
Dungeon
though.
Masters of Simi Valley.
There's just one of them. It's me.
Well, that's how the story starts. That's you saying that, and you're like, there's just one of them, and it's me. And you snap, and then it cuts to another guy, and he's like,
I am the premier dungeon master of Simi Valley.
And then the show makes you all go to a party together, and you end up pulling each other's hair and diving into a pool.
That does sound real.
So,
did you like the Game of Thrones you saw?
No.
No.
I'm just saying
whether
I didn't
he liked
like
it or not is not a spoiler, you Nazis.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it.
I think it was a great episode, but I don't like it. I don't like a lot of great things.
I don't like a lot of great
Oh,
no, we can't. We honestly can't because I was about to ask. Yeah, I haven't seen
I'm
it
not
going to
spoil anything.
Game
I think everyone's going to really enjoy it. I'm just saying words to throw you guys all off guard.
Yay!
It's,
Do you understand what's going on?
Yeah, Dumbledore dies, right?
Hey! Spoiler, buddy. That actually...
Were you the kid that was running around telling everyone that Dumbledore died?
Oh, yeah.
Was
we went to the book release night at two different borders. Kill Stubbador.
Did you really do that?
Yeah, when you work at bookstores for a long time, you start to hate books and people who like them.
Did you work at a bookstore?
Yeah, yeah. Before I worked at the used bookstore, I worked at Borders.
Are there still Borders?
Nope.
Are there still any bookstores? Where's, just like vintage ones, right?
There's Barnes & Noble, you know. Yeah, they're kicking. Okay.
I wonder if they should split into a Barnes and a Noble. I don't know why. What am I?
Happy
even,
Father's Day. Just,
who are? Who are Barnes and Noble? Why did they put their name on?
Yeah, fuck those guys.
Yeah, I'm gonna find out everything about them right now.
Who's Vaughn? And Albertson?
That goes to Ralph? Show you like how amazing.
Yeah, I do know Jason Subway though.
You know that books were really popular and you couldn't take your business elsewhere because the bookstore's names are so shitty, like Barnes & Noble. Like you know, if books had to be invented today, you'd have to call them something like Laser Blowjob. Like the store would have to be called like Mega Max Super Read. I publish Super Dick Book Fuck Pussy.
So is a laser blowjob really precise?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It goes right to, you know, where we like.
No, that, not that part of skin, that part
it's,
of
it,
the
it's zero teeth.
Zero teeth.
That's the guarantee of a laser blowjob.
Those don't really exist, though. That's an urban myth.
You've heard it 1,000 times before. This is like a guy, the spokesman of the commercial, is on an all-black set, like an Onyx set, and he's walking towards camera in his gray suit. He's like, of course, it's a blowjob. There's going to be some teeth. That is now a matter of the past. With laser blowjobs, and then they do this CG thing, and it just spirals around your dick, and...
Yeah.
And it just cuts to these testimonials of guys going like, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. You think blowjob, the little bit of teeth is okay. It's like rat hair in your cereal. On paper, laser blowjob sounds horrible.
There's a final guy that's like it's hardly even a job anymore. I feel like I just got blown.
Yeah. There's a whole like backlash to laser blowjobs that are like, you know, I like the teeth. I thought they were okay.
Oh yeah, those are the hipsters in Silver Lake. Yeah. The David Cross character with the scarf. Blowjobs are supposed to involve teeth. That's the point of them. It makes them feel better. Okay, anyways. Yeah.
Yeah.
Teeth.
Well, what? Teeth.
What did you do? Don't make us drag it out of you. Did you bring a D&D adventure for us tonight?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I'm here.
Well, I don't assume anything about you.
That's good. That's safe.
Have you been enjoying being my assistant?
Yes.
Conflict of interests. All right. Well, nothing else to talk about? Father's Day? Did you talk to your dad today?
Yeah. You know, my dad's in...
rehab?
It's in a not American country. I'm not sure which. It's terrible. I think it's Colombia.
Why might he be Brazil. Why does he go?
He lives there now.
What?
Wait, your dad moved to Colombia?
Yeah, you know, a lot of things happen.
And you're not sure which country your dad moved to?
Well, once it's out of America, it's like, who cares? I can't do anything about it.
Wait, did your dad move there for work?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's hoping to get work. He's just moving there, yeah. I mean, my parents, they're doing all sorts of crazy shit now, you know? My mom's, like, traveling the country. I don't know. They got all this money that I'm sure I'm never going to get now. Just spending it on being alone. I guess. I have to be alone broke. It sucks. Anyway, well, my dad sent me a letter. He found a pickpocket's hand in his pocket and he punched him in the face.
Jesus.
And it made me realize my dad has punched a lot of people in the face. Like, he punched a different guy in the face that he thought was stealing something from him. We don't know if he actually was. I saw he ripped the rear view mirror off of a car of a guy that was driving too fast in a parking lot. And then he threw it at him. He didn't hit the car with it, but it's just there's such malice there. I mean, I love my dad, but he apparently violent.
Everyone deals with divorce in different ways.
That was all before. That's all normal. That's part of the course. The
divorce was the mirror he should have been ripping off the car. It was coming up in unhealthy ways. Finally, he was like, oh, wait. I don't have to punch other men. I can just break up my family.
I could punch my marriage.
So they really are separated.
Yeah.
Very recently.
He's in a different country.
When did this happen? How long ago?
I don't know.
It was right after he came on the show, and he came up behind the table, and he was going, hey, I'm Spencer's dad, and then...
It was after that? After that. I don't know.
I think our show broke up your parents.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, well, I was always confident that once I left, there would be nothing left because my parents were always using me as like the crutch. They'd be all like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do about your father. And that's like, well, I can't be the, you know, if that's going to fail. You guys want me out of here.
Let's stay together for the kids. Our kids are Grizzly Adams.
Yeah. I mean, that's
our kids are 7 feet tall.
When all my friends' parents were getting divorced back in middle school and high school, it seemed so fashionable and cool. Like, I definitely could have cashed it in back then. Now it's just like, fucking deal with it. You're 25, you piece of shit. Like, I don't have any pity anymore.
That's exactly right. Once you hit your 20s, your parents divorcing is just kind of weird.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about eyeglasses. I was like... But slid forward 10 years. Like, throughout my 20s, I would have been so hot with fucking glasses. I was in the fucking Costco optometrist every day. Are you sure I don't need them yet? Because I'd be pretty hot with them. And like, now my eyes are probably a little weaker. I'm eventually go in. I'll just look like fucking Mr. Roper.
It won't matter. No, you look like a professor. I'm excited about it.
She's getting turned on. Okay. All
right. Someone's getting a teethy blowjob.
Teethy.
I just want you to know I'm there.
That's a step up from toothy blowjob. Teethy.
Teethy.
All of the teeth are involved. Every single one makes an appearance. They cameo some of the molars.
Not just the vestigial blowjob tooth that like a bird uses to get out of its shell.
I just want him to know I'm here.
All right, man.
That's the sound, toothy blowjob.
Have either of you received such a job and not said anything and just kind of like suffered through
it? You don't ever say anything. You can't be like, hey, first of all, thank you so much. Listen, forever in your debt, etc.
Definitely, like you don't give someone notes on their performance at a soup kitchen.
Yeah.
Hey, you kind of... Kind of an asshole with that ladle.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Maybe I should never come back here ever again.
Exactly.
No, thank you for coming down here and giving out soup.
Yeah.
You're a hero.
It's not the best soup I've ever had, but it's fucking soup. Even terrible soup is better than no soup.
I think if somebody asks, for notes.
Really?
I'm always like A+.
At Pillow Talk,
well,
if they go, do you like the way I, you know, if they, I'm like, well, you want to, really? You want to, I mean, then I start with the, I go like, you're fucking aces.
Yeah.
Great. No problem. Thanks for doing it. And then it's like, if pressed for it, if there were teeth involved, I might say, I guess maybe, do you know that I don't
thing,
want
like
your
Columbo,
teeth involved?
Like, oh, just one more thing.
Isn't it
super painful? Isn't that kind of a crazy thing to just kind of let go?
Well, they might...
Like, if someone were, like...
They
if
might
it was
know,
the other way around... And,
listen,
and,
no one's, like, gnawing on your thing down there. Yeah. That's not happening. So
no, no one's gnawing on my thing.
It's just like a bit of rat hair in your cereal.
Right. Okay.
I would take,
so it just comes in and go, you know...
Yeah, I would take the worst blowjob I've ever had over the best pizza I've ever eaten.
Yeah, I mean, if the goal becomes for some strange scientific purpose, you're like, okay, let's create the perfect blowjob. All right, I mean, you want to go down this road? I guess we could try. But I have a feeling the notes would result in a lot of There'd probably be...
No more blowjobs.
Well, I don't know. Or the next time it's like this? Like you said? Okay, all right. You don't have to be sarcastic.
Yeah, keep your blowjobs sincere.
I said ball play, not racket yeah. ball.
Yeah, I don't need an ironic blowjob.
I wish there was a cooler term than blowjob. Blowjob sounds so...
Or ball play, or teethy, or anything.
First of all, like, suck job is a much more descriptive...
Well, do you know, I read this
Nobody's
somewhere.
Ever blowing on that.
The etymology of the word blowjob is, they think, comes from the idea of... It's not what you think. It's not the idea that the vendor of the...
The merchant.
I was going to say woman, and then I was like, 2014? Fucking, like...
Yeah, no, you're right.
Who knows?
Yeah, vendor is the way provider. More sensitive. Yeah.
The provider.
The giver, yeah.
The idea isn't that that person is doing anything. I mean, blowing, sucking, anything. It's nothing to do with that. It comes from the idea of blowing off steam. It's the receiver blowing. Blowing is wad. Blowing is load. Blowing.
It's Victorian slang.
Because it was like a quick,
for what?
a quick dirty like give him a blow job, let him blow off his
steam. Yeah, let
his
him relax
steam.
A little.
It's a steampunk terminology. I really think that's how they understood humanity to work had to do with steam, and it comes from that. And that's what I read. I was like, oh, that actually makes so much more sense than all these years of going like, well, yeah, why do they? Yeah,
that's not stop ever
it.
Part
stop
of it.
Doing that. I'm not a balloon.
Yeah, I'll take teeth over that. Yeah. I thought when I was a kid, I didn't know what it was. I'd heard the term. I thought it was that the point was for the person to blow air into the hole.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what felt really good.
Of course
good.
You would think
I was
that.
Like, I wanted to inflate all the way.
Of course you would think that because you when you're a yeah. kid, you have a little wiener and you yeah. look down at it and the obvious analog
is like a little hole, yeah.
Is the stem on the basketball or the tire of your dirt yeah. bike. Like you go like, oh, a blowjob. I'm going to get a blowjob one day. Oh, I guess that'll be when someone
that's
pumps me
hole.
Up with this
yeah.
little doodad yeah. down here.
Yeah.
Would then, that feel good?
I doubt it.
I bet it wouldn't feel terrible.
I mean, yeah, in a
what
world
if you had
where...
like a compressed air thing that you use to clean off like your keyboard.
Well, that would feel weird.
I bet that would feel good.
I'm not talking about like inserting it into the urethra. I'm talking
right.
about
no,
like just
from
3 inches outside.
Away, like it's a circuit
oh,
board.
Yeah.
It really
but there's some,
like if you were really trying
some,
to dust it off.
There's
I bet
some,
that would feel good. I
there's
bet
always
it's great.
Some splatter in that. You know the liquid that's always in
oh,
there?
Oh, it'd freeze your dick.
Yeah. No, oh. it'd burn your dick.
Burn it. Well, it
yeah, like, you know, the frostbite.
But
yeah.
like a fun burn. There's very little you can do to the dick that would really hurt it, and you'd know what it is. If you're like, would this hurt it or not, it probably won't. It'll be great.
Yeah. There's very little fun in burning something.
But it's like a freeze
like
burn.
Like candles.
It is like a freeze burn. I don't see your point. That's still bad.
No, but listen.
Look, take down your pants. Someone
I
grab
mean,
a thing.
Listen, it okay. would feel like having your tongue stuck to a frozen pole, except it's your dick. It would be terrible.
Like, you sure it's fine.
Like, I've had that spray stuff on my like hand and my body. It yeah. burns
yeah.
for minutes.
Yeah,
but it burns.
It's like,
isn't
yeah.
it? But it burns fun, right?
In the way that having like inflicting pain on yourself is fun. Like sometimes you prick yourself with like a thumbtack, and that's fun. It's not. Like, when you get your dick involved, that's a whole... Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm masochistic, sure.
I've done that freeze thing to myself all the time. And it's like a fun burn.
But that's
it's
your
not like a thumb
arm,
pack.
Right?
Wait, are you joking? You
it really
you use
hurts.
Compressed air on your penis?
No, but I've done it on my arm and it feels fine. And I had never thought of it until now. And I swear to you, within a week, I will do it.
Tonight in Los Angeles, the Staples are going to be...
Yeah.
So there's going to be a...
I swear, while you guys were talking in my head, I was like, well, it's after 10. Staples is going to be closed when I'm done.
Hey, did you ever hear that thing? Did you ever talk about that thing, that tape head cleaner thing with the speaking of Staples and things you can buy there that for sexual purposes? There's a VHS head cleaner
uh-huh.
fluid.
Yeah.
That's like a thing people would huff it. And it dilates your
butthole.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. It does.
Which I didn't even think dilating it would be like why would you?
Well, because
like, oh, make it nice and big. Well, no, that's not what I wanted when I looked at you across the room. I didn't want a dilated butthole. I want a snug little.
But even dilated,
glove
I bet
finger. I'm assuming. Putting myself in the shoes of a man about town. What am I in the market for? I want it good and dilated. Well then, just
get a bucket of water.
Put it in a coffee cup. Yeah. I don't know. Isn't the idea that it's tiny?
No.
No.
But even a dilated butthole is pretty tiny.
Probably. Yeah,
isn't the idea more about the receiver's pleasure when it comes to
dilating
your
butthole? Yeah, it's about relaxing.
I get
and
that.
And your prostate and the way your body is, it's not like
okay. Like the brain wants the reach exceeds the grasp. You're like I want something up my butt, but my butt doesn't know that. My butt's just doing its job. It's keeping everything in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I doesn't want. Know, yeah. I'm Timothy. I want something up there. So then you go to Staples.
Yeah. You're like,
boing. Is that the sound? And then, Mr. Henderson, I'm here to clean your pool. Now I'm just writing a whole gay porno.
Yeah. Timothy and Mr. Henderson.
Yeah.
Tommy, I have all this extra tape cleaner, and these things are these. I'm not even using a VHS player anymore.
Oh, geez, Mr. Henderson, I just came from Staples. I'll clean the pool now.
Now, Tommy, are you saying you like to go to Staples?
Oh, geez, you know, it's the one-stop trip for all your office supply needs. Oh, boy, you know, Mr. Henderson, you really ought to put more chlorine in your pool. There's a lot of plankton in here. Swish, 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 swish.
That sounds like Rick, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Morty.
Tommy!
Yeah, it sounds like Morty.
All right, okay. All right, well...
Should we do some D&D?
Yeah, we got 11 minutes.
Oh, we need another person, right?
Do we?
We could.
You would play Jeff's character because you're comptroller. Aaron would play Mulrain. Yeah, I guess we need a volunteer to...
Dan.
Who's really earned... Well, Dan had his moment in the sun.
I'll be Christopher.
Let's not. Well, actually, let's use that guy because otherwise he'll be so embarrassed that he shouted that out, right?
What?
Someone said, "I'll be Krista Berg." Who said that? Come on up.
Hello, what is your name?
I'm Mark.
Mark. Mark, everybody.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
And Mark is wearing a shirt that says Cock Sparrow.
Cock Sparrer.
Oh, okay.
Mark, are you from LA?
I'm from San Diego, but I moved to LA like 2 years ago.
Oh, where in San Diego?
Escondido, North County.
Cool. I'm from Rancho Bernardo.
Are you really?
Yeah, man.
Those are adjacent cities.
I know. I worked at that mall. I worked at Hot Topic in Escondido.
God, are you kidding me?
No, man. I'm not kidding.
You probably saw pubescent me walk in there and buy like wrist guards and weird like stuff like that.
Oh, right. Cool.
Why are you? Yeah. Why does it sound like you're mocking him?
Yeah.
Is that the San Diego accent?
I'm not mocking him. I guess it does sound like I'm mocking him. Yeah. I just wanted to do his accent.
It's a San Diego
and it does remind
thing,
me of home. And I guess I did talk like that for a time. And I worked at Hot Topic.
I didn't know that was a San Diego accent. It just sounds like, oh, cool, yeah. Did you do that? Oh, awesome. You fucking piece of human shit. Sounds great. Well, I'll take 10.
Yeah.
Fuck face. What'd you have for breakfast this morning? Oh, rad! Fuck off!
Gets a little gnarly down there.
Does get gnarly. Yeah, yeah. Do you board?
I don't board. I'm sorry. No board.
Do you dilate your butt? Also, how old are you? Before I... Because you may have come here with your dad for Father's Day.
No, my dad's an Escondido boarding. Don't worry about it.
All right.
Cleaning VHS tapes.
All right, we're gonna do a little 8-minute lightning round of D&D.
Yeah.
So who is it's Mark, right?
Yeah.
Mark will be playing.
They should be in order.
Berg.
I wish we could play for longer.
I kind of like the 8 minutes.
Oh,
to be
sometimes
honest.
Sometimes we go over time.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a little fast. We've got 10 minutes.
I can't There's trust more, anybody.
Oh, here, pass them down. I got mine. Thank you. Sorry.
A clock's a machine.
Thank you.
Can't argue with that.
I found a top-down, turn-based RPG today that I might like. I can't remember what it's called.
iOS game?
Swords and Liberty. Or...
I love both of those things.
It's got a really generic name, and it's there's no frill. I just really like. I've been searching forever for just. I just want a nice top-down turn-based RPG.
Yeah, I love
dungeon
strategy.
Crawler. Just want a Oberon?
Pokemon.
Oh, Pokemon.
Wait, people love the new Diablo 3 is supposed to be good.
That's
Dark
not
Souls
turn-based.
Is not top
No, fuck Dark Souls, man.
You
can't.
Tried that.
That's the Sudoku of video games. Oh, I should have. I guess I'll start over, and this time I'll wear corn for a hat. That was a big mistake I made that cost me 3 hours.
That's how your Sudoku experience is?
Yeah, like, Sudoku, it's like, I tried it once, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of fun, and then I realized, like,
you needed a
after six
hat.
Hours, I was like, oh, I haven't been doing this right at all.
Okay, cool. Well, I mean, is Dustin going to music me? Am I going to? Yeah, yeah.
All right, here we go.
Sorry, everybody, I'm a diva. I require musical stuff. Last time on Harmontown, our heroes had made it to the floating Isle of Paradise. With the help and unwitting sacrifice of the Seekers of Paradise, they had arrived. And after meeting and greeting with Yomiji, the angelic guardian of the realm, they found the Tarragon of Virtue and used it to cure Krista Berg, unleashing the demonic and ghostly Admiral Darkstar, who possessed Yomiji's body and compelled the angel into mortal combat. In the fierce battle, the island caught fire, enveloping in the field of battle in blazing flames and choking smoke. The gang resolved to escape, but then quickly changed their minds, deciding to fight, activating their armulets and unleashing their elemental powers. But even Quark's sleep could not extinguish the consuming conflagration of the island. The gang fired arrows and slashed at Yomiji, but nothing seemed to be working. Finally, Sharpie had a quick burst of insight and blasted the angel with reduced person, shrinking his form by half, turning the hulking Arkan into an average Chad. But would our heroes be able to cut down their fun-sized foe, or would the fun fail to free our friends from fate's fiddling fingers? Find out next time on Harmontown. I guess people like alliteration. I like it too. It's fun. Questions? There always are.
What if we did? What if we did a practical joke on Spencer where we all just sat here in silence? I guess he would just slowly kill us with this rampaging monster. So distracted by your alliteration, our exact circumstances are that did we shrunk this guy, but. We were going to head back for the portal, right?
Yeah, that's like before the last episode, you were like, let's run. And then at the top of the last episode, you were like, let's not run. Right. And then you started fighting. So right. That's what was happening.
But then we were running back for the portal, or mm-hmm. We're just fighting this guy?
You had reduced him to six All to right. half his normal size. He's the size of a mere man.
All right, let's kick this guy's ass. But knowing that once we do, this spirit will be free, and that's the futile part of it.
You stand amid the flaming Isle of Paradise, surrounding the 6-foot-tall Yomiji. It's hard to see because smoke blocks out the sky and wind whips past your faces, but you can see the clouds above you soaring upwards, away from you. Then you feel a sense of vertigo as you realize that the floating island might not be as floating as it once was.
Uh-oh.
In fact, it's starting to fall from the sky.
Oh, shazbot. And what did we deduce about that portal last time? Like when we talked about running back into it, there was shit flying out of it that was hurting us.
Well, yeah, it looked kind of like a painful portal. Like, because you remember the first time you went in, it sucked you through, it hurt you.
And the final word was that it's not an option as an exit.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't say that, certainly. I don't know how you guys came to whatever decisions you did last week.
Do any of us have tape head cleaner? It might be easier to get back in that portal.
Get that portal widened out, yeah. Just widen it up.
Yeah. So we're trying to jump up into the portal?
No.
No.
Well, you're standing on this floating island. It's on fire. You're surrounding this angel guy who you've been fighting.
Well, now we can kill him, right? Can I pull out my flaming sword and attack this thing?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, shit, I need dice.
Is this tape head cleaner thing real?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tape head cleaner, like, yeah.
When you're picking up the compressed air, pick up some of the tape head cleaner.
Now, and also, I heard the same thing about amyl nitrate poppers, that's part of the effect. Like, it gets you high, but it also makes your butthole get bigger.
Is that right?
I don't know. We have a Staples party. We'll all find out.
You were nodding vociferously when you said that.
Poppers are a real triple threat.
But isn't that what Gary Oldman's doing in The Professional? So when you watch that movie and he's like, I love Maltage, or whatever. Is it, like, is his butthole like dilated? Yeah.
He's just shitting his pants.
I think you're just more open to the world when your butthole is dilated.
Right. It's a spiritual...
You're open to every... You're literally more open to the world.
Yeah. In every way.
Yeah.
Mozart... Anything else you want to get in there?
I really want to try it now after all this talk.
It's good old fun.
Okay, so I get out my flaming sword and I go right at it.
You go right at it, cleaving a hefty strike directly towards his torso, but he neatly parries with his flaming shovel. It seems he's not out of the fight just yet.
I think we should go into the portal. Get out of here. We accomplished our goals.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't want to overstate things, but
yep,
we came here for a reason.
Paradise is falling.
And this guy, if we kill him, he's got a gagu in him that goes into the next guy.
All right, yeah.
I say we run for the fire exit.
Definitely.
Sometimes heroism looks identical to cowardice. Like,
but running away from something always looks like cowardice.
Yeah, but if you run away long enough, you'll come back around the other side. And you'll...
Let's run away from...
Columbus ran from Europe. Look what happened.
All right.
America happened. I shouldn't have to spell this out.
So you look around for the portal, but it's not where you left it.
Shit.
You look up. It seems it's maybe about 20 feet and falling fast.
Island's falling.
Okay, I have 100 feet of rope, everybody. 100 feet of rope. I'm going to tie the rope to my foot, and then I'm going to use my boots of spry springing. And I'm going to hop up into the portal, leaving a rope behind for everybody
to... And we'll climb up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Ta-da! Oing!
Using your boots of spry springing, you spring spryly up towards the portal and grasp its razor-sharp edge. Your hands are sliced by the polygons of the portal's edge, but you catch hold. Blood drips into your eyes, but you know you're going to be able to climb through this thing.
I'm a hero!
You pull yourself through into the ruined hideout of the Seekers of Paradise. That's where the portal came from. You're safe with a rope on your foot.
Get to that rope, gentlemen.
The rope's being, you know, pulled by the falling. But you get it. Who wants to get it?
We all do.
Yeah. Who goes first?
Well, as a tortured artist in this falling rock of paradise, I kind of like the band in Titanic. I feel like I should sing Lady in Red as this thing falls to its death.
Mm. Yeah.
Instead of
grabbing
it
a good send-off.
But also go not for the rope.
Well, yeah. I'll,
okay, yeah.
Also
yeah.
The rope.
Just making sure.
Yoshimi was cool.
Let me go last. I can use my teleport cape to grab it no matter how high it goes. So you guys go... go before me.
I feel like I should mention that. That's used up for the time.
Fuck
being.
You. You're such a fucking dungeon master.
It's like I enforce some rules.
All right, fine. I grab the rope. I kick everyone out of the way.
You grab the rope first.
Is Happy it... Father's Day!
You guys continue to grab different parts of the rope. I don't know why I'm describing that. As you sing a soulful melody.
I do. Lady in Red.
You see the island fall away from you as Yomiji looks up going, "Yew!" And then he realizes he has wings and flies away.
Okay.
All right.
We don't care where he's
You guys
going.
Are just hanging from a hole in the sky.
Let's, well, can we crawl up it? We
yeah,
climb
yeah,
up
yeah.
it.
All right.
We destroyed a whole island.
It's okay. Don't think about the past.
I can't. It's gone.
So, yeah, you guys pull yourself up into this portal. You each take some damage, though.
It's okay.
All right. Mulrain takes 5. Not Christaberg, but Quark takes 8. Christaberg takes 1, and you take 2.
Great.
Yeah. Got off easy. So you pull yourselves into the ruined, what do you call it? Hideout. What did I call it? Hideout. Hideout of the Seekers of Paradise. It looks like a bomb went off. All the things, there's furniture, it's sheared in half. Everything's just shattered and exploded. And half the stuff that used to be in the room is just gone completely.
This is shitty in here.
The portal still stands, though, just kind of like an open sore in the sky.
And there's nobody else in here except for us, right?
Well, you do see that, you know, scattered, mutilated body parts of the gnomes that exploded when you unleashed that portal. But
I searched their bodies.
Jesus.
You see it.
Listen, we're just being practical. We should have been searching bodies all along.
I put pennies on their eyelids and look for letters to their parents.
No.
You see, there's a torso that seems to have a long dagger, a coin purse, as well as a small sketch of a female gnome.
We take everything except for the sketch.
The other gnomes don't have anything, or it's been removed from their body.
I want to take the sketch.
Okay.
I take the sketch and I make it into a necklace. Because maybe later someone will be like, oh, I know her. You know?
Wait, do you do the necklace now, or is it just you're going to make a necklace?
I'm very fast.
Yeah, okay.
So, make a
necklace of the sketch.
Can you describe the sketch a little bit? Like, what she look like?
It's pretty shitty, to be honest. I mean, this guy was obviously no artist. But the sentiment shows through. You know, they're obviously a gnome.
I gotta tell you the truth. My OCD, like, I wanted to come in through the portal and say to anybody who was waiting on the other side, do not go in there.
Do not go in there.
Right.
Like that?
And I couldn't, like, I was like, is there anyone else here? Is there?
Shit, you should have said it.
I didn't want to carry it around with me.
That would have been
so
a great line.
So now it's done, just forget it.
But you know what? We all appreciate
Thank
the line.
You.
Yeah.
We get the same joy
from it. Do you
want
to go through
it?
The portal, come back in, and do the bit?
Yeah. No, but pretend we did. We just got here.
Okay.
Now say it.
Do not go in there.
Oh!
Father's Day.
All right. Well, we ought to get out of this building and get back to our lives.
Wait, we're just going home?
Well, this is the culmination of a big, long campaign for us. We finally got Kumail's character free of curses.
God, feels so good.
He has no dick still.
Didn't I get a better dick, though?
You have a dragon dick in your bag.
True.
I didn't want to do it myself, but I think you should attach the dragon dick where your real dick would be.
Oh, most definitely. I have your blessing. I would like to attach the dragon dick on the stump of my former dick.
Like, just yourself? Like, with...
What do I have?
Well, I have some
dick husbandry.
Yeah. You can borrow a needle and thread.
May I?
That doesn't sound
good. You're probably going to gnome to do it, like a team of gnomes.
Yeah, Bill Mardigan's has a lot of cool gnomes. Let's go look around. We'll see if we can find some.
Let's step outside this building into the daylight and stretch our arms and we hear the foleyed sounds of wagons clipping and clopping. It's like Deadwood sound library stuff. A lot of background chatter.
Wow,
well, yeah, two gold pieces for that. Yeah. Oh, what
coffins.
Get your coffins here.
And you find yourselves out front of, what is it now? Spizwad's weird bungalow. The magical fellow from before. He got you to steal all those cigarettes. I guess he didn't steal them, but, you know, whatever. He was going to help you magically. He might be a guy.
Is he going to be upset because we just came out of a building with, like, gnome body parts in it?
We're not going to tell him.
I hide my picture.
Yeah, let's get our story straight about this. We went to a secret gnome meeting where they play with buttons that open portals. Like, that's on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we were there when it happened, but that we just leave out the parts where we did anything.
I mean, overall, are we... What are we doing? I mean, like, do we have a mission for good, or are we just always trying to save our own necks? Like, do we have a...
Jesus.
Wow. That is intense.
This world barely has plumbing, and you're asking questions like that. I'm impressed.
No. I mean, I've seen a lot of shit on this trip, obviously.
Hey.
Help me out, meow. I just imagine that you were petting my head, I guess.
This is one of those rare moments between campaigns where we finished our shit and we're not beleaguered by anything else. It's nice.
Yeah.
We've been through a lot together.
Can we all write down the scariest thing that's happened, the worst thing that's happened on this trip, on a little piece of parchment, and just sit around a fire and talk about it and just throw it in the fire and let it go?
Yeah, I mean, do you want to build a fire now?
Yeah.
It seems like this is a good point to sort of end.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's a little sleepy.
It is a little sleepy. There's no reason for anybody to tune back.
I pretend that I see a woman in a red cloak up the road.
Is that the lady? Hey.
It is the lady in red.
Monica! Nope. Okay. All right. Okay. No. All right. I go into the nearest tavern.
You enter the nearest tavern, a place by the name of the Rusty Buckle.
I follow him in.
As do I.
You just see three gnomes and what looks like a baby standing around a table. There's no one else in the room.
Is it an adult gnome that looks like a baby?
It looks like a baby.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
It's a baby gnome.
Fellas, I see your baby is standing.
Not standing.
No?
He's
in a bassinet or
yep.
What? Okay. All right. Does he need a drink? What are you guys drinking? What are you drinking?
We drink,
Gnome?
Newers.
Gnome Newers? All right.
Newers?
Yeah.
Bartender?
Don't they have a Knapp's Blue Ribbon?
Yeah. They definitely do.
A round of Newers for my gnome friends.
I'll get a nettle one.
On the Schrock.
He gets it. But so you get them around. They're like, thanks. We're going to go back to looking at our shit.
What are you guys looking at? Your baby?
No, just the plans for them.
You got a plan for a baby?
I mean, yeah.
The baby's already there. You don't need to plan it anymore.
Yeah, the baby
just didn't get here without planning now, did it?
Well, wait, so you're going over the plans for the baby that's here?
Yes.
For the Let me take a look at these.
It's a detailed, multi-layered blueprint schematic that you don't even begin to understand. But on the first page, you see something that looks like an eyeball.
I get this.
You guys make babies?
Yeah.
Wait, Quark, you're a gnome. What was your plan when you were born?
I mean, I just came out. I didn't really have a plan. I don't get... Are these plans to make the baby, or when the baby happens, then the plans for the baby's life?
No, these are the plans to make this. I mean, you guys keep calling it a baby. I guess it looks like a baby. It's more like a little automaton.
Oh.
It's a cyborg baby.
What's there... a cyborg?
A cyborg.
Is that like a golem?
Is it like an android?
Yeah, it's like a
What's
golem.
An android?
It's like a golem.
Mr. Gnome, is there somewhere where I can buy one?
No, you just got to make them.
Okay, could I get the recipe?
Well, we have these plans, but they're very costly.
How costly?
800 gold.
I think what we should do, and this is a crazy, crazy pitch.
I want to make
Bad
a baby.
Bad pitch, let's take the baby golem and fucking run out of
here. I know.
I'm down. Well, can we at least steal the plans?
Nah, come on, guys.
I really want to make
We're not
little...
saying this in front of these guys. Can we talk over by the gnome equivalent of a jukebox?
Look, I mean... I don't give a fuck what you say to me. I'm going to steal those plans.
And I don't care what the fuck you're going to say to me. I'm taking that baby.
Can I impress upon you guys that we've been through a lot this year?
How much better would it be? Finished? Listen, imagine your life right now. Now imagine it with a baby robot. It's only better.
These gnomes, they helped us.
Yeah, literally.
We killed them already. We're already...
Well,
like,
then what's a few more?
We're already here. We're not killing them. We're just taking their baby robot.
I'm sure we have 800 gold pieces between us.
You
really don't.
I draw my bow, and I point it at the gnomes, and I say, give me the plans,
what
little
the
ones.
Fuck?
Give me the plans.
They slowly, like, hold their hands up, like, just be careful, you know? Okay. They're on the table.
Yeah, all right.
I'm really sorry about this.
Quirk, grab the plans and grab the baby.
All right.
What the
fuck?
Wait.
When you started playing Socio Pathfinder. All right, that's enough. That's good enough ending.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming. Thank you, Zach. On audio. Thank you, Justin Marshall, for recording everything with his earphones. Thank you, Mark, for playing Christopher. Thank you, Dan. And who is the Bethany for coming
Bethany.
Up and getting your tickets? Thank you, Kumail, for filling in.
Thank you,
everybody at Meltdown Comics. And we'll see you next... come to the... There's still seats left. Come to the L.A. Film Festival screening tomorrow night. Google it. Figure out how to get there. I'll be there, and you can watch the Harmontown documentary. You've been waiting for it. I don't know. I mean, there's got to be a way.
I tweeted ticket links. I tweeted them. I'll tweet them later tonight.
Ticket links.
Follow me on Twitter, @TheZixler.